Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Mem. We will begin on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Amar Rab Acha Bar Chanina, Kol Amavaka Choyla Noitel Echad Mishishim Betzaroi. If somebody visits someone when he's not well, he takes away a 60th of the disease. Farshim discuss, how do we understand that a 60th of the disease is removed? Does it mean that the visitor now receives, absorbs a 60th of the disease? Does it mean that the patient, 60th of his disease goes away, but it doesn't necessarily get transferred to the visitor? It's really a machlokes, a mefarshim. And the mefarshim actually ask, according to the opinions, that the visitor gets a 60th of the disease, why does he deserve to receive a 60th of the disease? Just because he came to do a mitzvah, bika chaylim. So they explained that even if we'll hold that he actually receives a 60th of the disease, it's not to say that he doesn't have a refuah, he has a refuah for it, because he did the mitzvah, a bika chaylim. The Mefarshim go on to explain, what is this concept that he gets a 60th of the disease? What's the number 160th? So they explain that we know throughout halacha, the number of 160th is always the number of bittul. A person who is ill, obviously very ill, is in life and death situation. His life is bottled. His life is maybe nullified. By people coming to visit him, they save him from that situation. And now it won't be a 1 to 60 ratio, and he will, mitzvah, be able to live, hopefully. Amalei, it's an obvious question. If a person visits a sick person, and he takes away a 60th of his disease, him came leil and shitin, let 60 people visit the ill person, v'lekmua, and they'll have a full refuah. If each one of them takes away his 60th. Amalei, kisreis de bei Rebbe. So the Gemara gives two answers. Number one, it doesn't work that every person takes the 60th. It works in the successive rate, as the Gemara will explain in a moment. Uba ben Giloy. It's not every visitor has the ability to take away part of the disease. It's only someone who's a ben Giloy. And there are a number of pshatim in the Farshim what ben Giloy is. Some of Farshim say a ben Giloy is a person who was born in the same mazel, in the same birthday as the person who's sick. Others say ben Giloy means that it's a person who the sick person enjoys his visit. I mean, he's a friend of the person. That's the person who has the ability. But just anyone, any person who really doesn't have any relationship doesn't have the ability to take away the disease. The Gra has a beautiful raya to this concept that our Gemara is discussing from a pasuk in the Torah. We know that Yosef and Yaakov were certainly a relationship of Ben Giloy. Yaakov loved Yosef. Ki ben zekunim hu loy. So the pasuk says that Yosef was told, Hine avicha chayla, your father is sick. Hine is begematria 60. V'yischazek, so Yosef comes to visit him, and the pasuk says, V'yischazek Yisrael, v'yeshev el amita, hamita is begematria 59. After Yosef came to visit Yaakov, given that Yosef was a ben Giloy with Yaakov, he was able to take it from 60 to 59. Says the Gemara, what does the Sreis of the Bei Rebbe mean? It's a Gemara that we learned in Masechta Ksuvos. The Tanya Rebbe Omer, Bas HaNizoinus M'Nichsei Achim. If a father passes away, and he leaves an estate, and he has a daughter that's getting married, Noitelus Issa Nechosim. Unless we know different, we assume that the father would have spent 10% of his estate to marry off his daughter. So 10% of the estate is reserved for the daughter that gets married. Amalei Rebbe Lidvarecha. So they asked Rebbe, according to your version, Mishyeshle Esa Bonos Uben, if somebody died and left over 10 daughters and a son, Einloi Leben, the Mokum Bonos Klum. If each daughter is going to get 10%, so 10 times 10 equal 100, and the son is left with nothing. Amalei, so Rebbe explained, that's not the way I meant with 10%. What I meant to say with 10% is, Rishonin, they tell us, is Nechosim. The first one gets 10%. Shnia, so let's say we start with 100. The first one gets 10%, so we're left with 90. The second one that gets 10% doesn't get 10% of 100. That's 10% of 90, which is only 9. The third one only gets 10% of 81. And if we keep on going down, if you do the math, you'll find that they only have accounted for 65%. So, Shniya b'masha shaira, Shlisha b'masha shaira, and then the Chayza v'chalkus b'shava. What does that mean? What that means is like this. Let's say, this is the way the Rishonim explained still in the Sechta Ksubis. If you have 10 daughters, and they're all getting married at the same time, the father died and left 10 daughters, then the halach is that given the calculation we just made, they're entitled to a total of 65%. So we take that 65% divided amongst all 10 girls, each one getting 6.5%. The son gets the 35%. But let's say they don't get married at the same time. So when the first daughter gets married, her other sisters aren't kalos yet. So she'll get 10. When the next sister gets married, she'll only get 9. And so down and down. Say to Mefarshim, the Sefer Nidri's reason, says the same thing regarding if people come to visit a person who's sick. According to the Mefarshim that say that, as we started our shir, that if someone visits a person who's sick, actually absorbs part of the disease is transferred, if 10 people come to visit the sick person at the same time, they'll all get the same shir. But if one person comes, he gets a 60th, which is larger than the next person's 60th. He'll actually get a bigger shir. Says the Gemara, Rav Chelba Cholish, Rav Chelba got sick. Nafik Achris Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana went and made an announcement. Rav Chelba Bosh. Rav Chelba is sick. Like Ike Da'asi, is there no one to come visit him? Amu Lakacha Yemaisa. Wasn't there once an incident? But Talmud Echad Mitalmidei Rabbi Kiva. One of the Talmidei Rabbi Kiva, Shechola, that got ill. Like Nichnasu Chachamu Levakroi. And no one came to visit him. The Nichnasu Rabbi Kiva Levakroi. So Rabbi Kiva came to visit him. Ubishvil Shekibdoi V'ritzu Lufanov. Then when Rabbi Kiva came to visit him, the great Rabbi Kiva came to visit, so they cleaned the room. Choyo. So there's three ways of understanding the Pshat here, the Gemara here. One is that since they were going to have such an important guest like Rabbi Kiva, they certainly cleaned up the house in his honor. Another Pshat is that Rabbi Kiva came to the house and saw that the house was dirty, recognizing that a person, that where there's dirt, there's germs, it's difficult for a person to get healthy. So he himself cleaned the house. A third pshat, which really speaks to the whole Gemara, is as follows. Why didn't anybody come visit this person? So the Mefarshim say either because he was very ill and nobody thought there was any hope, or that Rabbi Kiva, as we know, had 24,000 Talmidim. So people didn't really recognize how important this Talmud was. Once they saw that this Talmud is so special that Rabbi Kiva is coming to visit him. So he's not just somebody. He's not just one of 24,000. He must be a somebody. So they started treating the patient better. Then they started cleaning his room. And that caused, because they cleaned the room, chayal. So there's a very interesting prisha. The prisha says that kibdei v'ritzpa, we know throughout Shas, means that they used to have floors that were made out of dirt. And kibdei means they used to sweep the floor, and then ripta means they used to sprinkle water on the floor that the dust shouldn't rise. Says the prisha that nowadays we don't have dust floors. So we would think that keeping the room clean, sweeping the room of a patient is not that important. Says the prisha, he wasn't a doctor, that cleanliness in the room of a patient is essential to the well-being of the patient. And I saw a very interesting thing. When the Klosenberg Rebbe was building Laniato Hospital in Netanya, and he wanted to build, and the hospital follows Shmiras Torah Mitzvahs, Shmiras Shabbos, so one of the shailas that was presented to him were rooms allowed to be swept on Shabbos. Maybe they shouldn't sweep any rooms on Shabbos, they should only sweep the rooms on Matzoi Shabbos. It's not something that the patient actually needs. So the Klosenberg Rebbe quoted this prisha, that the preacher said that cleanliness in a hospital is essential to the well-being of the patients. And of course, through a derech heter, through a guy, the rooms should be swept on Shabbos. Amalei Rebbe Hechassani. Rebbe, you gave me back my life by giving me this treatment. Yotzer b'kiva v'dorish. Kami shen mevakar chaylim. If somebody doesn't come to be mevakar chayla, kilu shayfech damim. It's like he's killing him. Kios ravdimi oimer. Kol mevakas achayla. Whoever visits a sick person, garim lo shiyichya. He causes that the person should live. Because as we've been learning, an essential part of bikur chaylim is not just coming and visiting. Seeing what the patient needs. What he needs to get better. And therefore he causes him to live. Says the Gemara, kol shen mevakas achayla. Goyim lo shiyomus. As to my grammar, what does that mean? Ilay me kol mevakas achayla mevakas lov rachmim shiyichya. Whoever comes, and as we've been learning, when you come to visit a patient, you have to say a kapitel tillim. And on his behalf, the kol she'en mevakas achayla mevakas lov rachmim shiyomus. And if you don't visit, it means you're davening, he should die. Says the Gemara, shiyomus akadaitach. Just because I didn't visit a patient doesn't mean I daven that he should die. Says the Gemara, al kol she'em avakas achayla, kol she'em avakas achayla, e'em avakas shalov rachmim, lo shiyichi v'lo shiyomis. So the way the Rosh explains the Gemara is as follows. If I come and visit a patient, and as the halacha is, that you have to daven for him. And not only do you have to daven for him, you see that he's never sick. So what does a Jew do when he sees another Jew is sick? He davens. But if you don't know that he's sick, or you don't recognize his situation, you won't daven. And your tefillah might have been the tefillah that would have made a difference. And therefore, it's important that you daven. That's how the Rosh explains. And just to speak for a moment about davening for a chayla. One halacha that I saw the Paiskim say is that typically when one davens, let's say somebody's a gabai, and he calls up his father to aliyah, so he's supposed to say, Abimairi. The halacha is when one davens for a parent who's never sick, you don't say Abimairi, you don't say Imam Marasi, you just say the name. When it comes to daven for sick people, we only mention their name. There's a question, where to daven? So the Mishnah Berura says that in Rifa'enu, we daven for, we can insert a tefillah for Chaylim. The Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees. He says, in Rifa'enu, one should only daven for Chaylah who's a member of his immediate family or close friend. But just because we know someone who never needs a refuah, but we don't specifically have a personal relationship, we shouldn't say it in Rifa'enu. He says we should say it in Shema Kolenu. Doruch HaShulchan goes on to say that on a permanent basis, add a tefillah to Shema Kolenu is also inappropriate. If there's a situation where somebody's not well, or somebody has a specific need, the place to say it is in Shema Kolenu. But if you want to specifically, on every tefillah, ask for something, every time you daven Shema Nesra, you want to ask for something that you feel you need, the place to daven for it, says the Aruch HaShulchan, is in Alokai Netzor. The Chasam Sofer has a very interesting pshat in this Gemara. The Chasam Sofer says that we know that when you daven, when you make a mishaberich, or you daven for a person who's sick, you're supposed to mention his name. Otherwise, who am I davening for? However, when you say a tefillah for a chayla in front of the chayla, you don't have to mention his name. And he says there's a tremendous advantage sometimes in not mentioning the name. Because maybe that person's name is written, we don't understand how this really works, is written in Shemayim that there's a big zero on the person. So if you're davening in shul, or if you're davening at home for this person, you have to mention his name. Mentioning his name could work against you. But if you daven in front of the chayla, then you don't have to mention his name, and the tefillah will certainly be helpful. The Ran, however, has a very different pshat in this Gemara. Interesting pshat. The Ran says that sometimes you're supposed to daven for a person to die. When the person is terminally ill and he's in great pain, you're supposed to daven for him to die. So now, if you don't visit the person, so you don't know what to daven for. Should you daven that he should be well, or should you daven that he should die? When you visit the person and you see a situation, you know what to daven for. And the Mefarshim discuss, this is not going to be paskin in the Daf Yomi Shir, but this is to be discussed, when is the appropriate time for such a tefillah. I saw that the Mefarshim, the Paiskim, say it's very hard to make that decision. We know the value of life. So the smartest thing they say is not to daven that the person should chas v'shalom die, because we can't make that decision. To daven that the person should no longer have yisurim. That's what the tefillah should be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how to take away the yisurim. Ramosha has a long tshuva about, even though Duran is telling us that under certain circumstances we're allowed to daven for a person to leave the world, that doesn't mean you're allowed to do any act, chas v'sholem, to cause death. He discusses what treatments could be withheld in a person in such a status. And he says certainly anything that will cause him to die is usur, but to give him medicine that will only prolong his life in pain may not be necessary. Again, this is a shayla of chas v'sholem, chas v'sholem. Anybody has such a shayla, they should discuss it with their rav. Says the Gemara, Rava yom kadmo d'cholish, Rava on the first day that he got ill, amalem loy tiglul inish, don't let anyone know that I'm sick, the loy lisra mazli, that my bad fortune should not be known to anybody. Because as we just said a moment ago, saying that a person is sick, there's tremendous power in the words that we speak. So we say that a person is sick, even if he's not sick, he may chas v'sholem become sick. It's like an iron horror. So the first day we're not sure that he's sick, and therefore don't say anything that he's sick. Mikan ve'elech, amalam puka v'chruz b'shuka. Go announce in the street that I'm sick. Why? To call the sonnily, anyone that hates me will now be happy. Lechtali, v'ksiv, v'falam v'chatismach. If your enemy is happy that something bad happens to you, it backfires, and it won't happen. The rochemli, and the person that davens for me, loves me, l'bayali rachmi. They daven for me that I should have a refuah. And the halacha is that the first 3 days that a person is sick, only his close relatives and family should visit him. It's only after the third day that he gets that he's sick, and it's already established that he's never sick, do other visitors start to come. There's a shayla I saw, interesting shayla. If that's the case, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu wait to visit Avraham Avinu till the third day? Wasn't Avraham Avinu a close relative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the answer is based on our Gemara. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have visited Avraham Avinu, there's no greater confirmation that he's sick. We don't want to confirm that a person is sick, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited till the third day to visit Avraham Avinu. The Mefarshim also say, this is pshat in a pasuk in Tehillim. Yikadmuni biyoyim edi. David HaMelech says, my enemies, as soon as I got sick, right away said I'm sick, because they wanted to do like Rava says. They wanted to declare me sick, that I should become sick. However, v'hi Hashem l'mishanli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected me. And it's interesting to note that the Mefarshim also go on to say that this Gemara is the basis of the conversation between Esther and Mordechai. Mordechai, we know, when he became aware of Haman's terrible decree, v'yilbash sach, he put on a sack. Esther went and sent him clothing. What happened here? Esther told Mordechai, by you putting on sack, you're only making Haman, your enemy, happier. He sees, that's what he wants. He wants us to be down. He wants us to be upset. Don't give him that pleasure. So Mordechai answered, Al-Gamar just said, "V'nfolay vecha al-tismach," that if your enemy is happy with something bad happens to you, it backfires. So I want Haman to see that I'm bitzar, and then he'll be happy, and it'll backfire. Says the Gemara, Amarav, call Amavakas a chayla, somebody that visits a sick person, nitzo medina shel gehenim, will be saved from being in gehenim. And the Mefarshim give a number of explanations why. One explanation, as anybody who ever visited a hospital knows, if you visit a hospital, you don't have to have a musa sefer. That's the biggest musa, what could happen to a person. So if a person visits a hospital, he's going to become better, and he won't have gehenim. Another pshat, is that the tsar, the pain of seeing your friend, your family member being sick, is already yusurim in this world. And because you have a surim in this world, it will save you from having yusurim in the next world. Another pshat is that another thing, and of course it has to be done with a lot of tact, that a person who's visiting a sick person is supposed to do, is he's supposed to tell the person to do tshuva. So if I, the visitor, tell the sick person to do tshuva, and because of what I do, he indeed does tshuva. So it's because of me that he did tshuva. And therefore, I won't have Gehenim as a reward. Shinema, Ashrei Maskel Aldo, somebody who thinks about the ill person, when it comes that if it has to show him fall into Gehenim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save him. Says the Gemara, Ein dal, ela choyle. Who is a dal? A sick person. Shenema midala yivatzeini. From sickness, you save me. Yechizkiyo says this. Inami mandein kra, madu ata kocha dal ben amelech. This refers to Amnon, the son of David, who was asked, why are you sick? Babayka, babayka. So Mepharshim say, why do we need two psukim to teach us that dal means a sick person? So they refer back to the Ran. Chizkiyo, who's the subject of the first pasuk, Amidala Yivatzeini, was very, very sick. Amnon wasn't really that sick. As we learned before, the Ran tells us there are two types of sick people. Sometimes a sick person you're supposed to daven should get well, most sick people. And sometimes a sick person you're supposed to daven should pass away. So the Gemara gives examples of both types of sick people. Ein ro, el gehenem, shenema kol pa Hashem lemaneu, v'gam rosh l'yoyim ro. Yoyim ro means when the rosh will end up in Gehenim. Says the Gemara, v'mbika maschorei, what is the schar if he visits? Says the Gemara, we just said, maschorei, k'ramo, nitzim adil l'shigehenim. Says the Gemara, el maschorei ba'olam hazeh, what schar does a person get in this world for visiting a sick person? So Mepharshim asks, we know that there is no schar in this world. So why would a person be entitled to schar? So one is because we say every morning in the Braisa, El Dvarim Shalom, Oichel Peres Sehem, Ba'oilam Hazeh, the Bika Chayim is one of the things that there is schar in this world. Another teretz is that we know that all of the schar that a Kodesh Baruch Hu always gives is Mida Keneged Mida. We know that by visiting a sick person, what happens? You cause that person should live in this world, in Oilam Hazeh. So obviously the schar for that should also be a reward for Oilam Hazeh. Says the Gemara, Hashem Yitzhmerei Mi'Yetzahara. He's protected from the Yetzahara. And again, the Mepharshim say, for the same reason that he's protected from Gehenim, he's protected from the Yetzahara, because he saw the sick person, and he saw what happens because of a virus. That will prevent him from doing a virus. Another pshat is, as we're going to learn in a moment, the Shekhinah rests near a person who's ill. So somebody who comes in contact with the Shekhinah will obviously be protected from the Yetzahara. V'yechayeyu mina Yisurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect him from having Yisurim. And again, the pshat is, as we said earlier, he already had Yisurim in this world, experiencing the pain of having a sick family member. V'usha ba'aretz shahayikol miskabnim boy. Everybody will be happy with him. Batit neba nefesh oivav, sheizdam nolay reim kenamon. He'll have friends like Ramon, sheripa et saratoy. Naaman was a general who had Saras. And Elisha sent him a message that he should bathe himself 7 times in the waters of the Yarden, and that will heal him. Now Naaman got very upset when he got that message. First of all, he said, I already bathed myself in so many different waters that didn't help. Why would those waters help? Moreover, he says, I'm the great general. Why didn't Elisha come to tell me what he wants to say personally? So Naaman's confidants told him, instead of getting angry, why don't you follow his advice? And he did follow that advice, and he got well. He shouldn't have friends like Rechavam. Rechavam was the son of Shlomo HaMelech. And when he assumed the throne, there was a debate between his advisors who were young and his advisors who were old. His advisors who were young say you have to establish your monarchy. And you have to be tough. You have to be firm with the people. You have to raise taxes. So people should recognize who you are. The older advisors told him just the opposite. You have to take it easy. Don't be so firm. Get the people to love you. And then you'll have a firm rule. He followed the advice of the young people. And what happened was that his kingdom was divided. That's when Yeravam ben Nevat became the king of the 10 Shvatim. Tanya Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Im yoyim l'cha yilodim b'nei, v'zkeinim star. If young people tell you to break something, and older people tell you to build, shmal azakeinim v'atishmal yilodim. Listen to what the older people say, and don't listen to what the young people say. Shebinyin yilodim stira. When young people tell you to build something, it's really not going to last. And when old people tell you to break something, binyon, really will cause it to last. The simon ledover, what's a simon? Rechavim ben Shlomo, that he listened to what the young people told him to raise taxes, and what happened was he ended up losing most of his rule. The Mashah explains this Gemara with a mashal. He says, let's say someone wants to add a floor to his house. So someone who's smart will tell him, don't do it without first demolishing your house, because your house can't withstand the extra floor. First demolish your house and build a taller building. A person who's not smart just tells him, add a floor, and then the entire house collapses because it can't carry the extra weight. Another mashal that I saw is that a smart person, let's say I want to build a new house. So a smart person will give me advice, don't just demolish your house and build a new one, because you never know what will happen in the middle of a building project. Go build a new house, and when you finish the new house, then you can knock down your old house or sell your old house. A foolish person will say, knock down your house and start building a new one, and you never know if you'll be able to indeed finish building the new one. I saw an unbelievable story. The last psak that Chaim Oizer gave in his life, it was 2 hours before he passed away, was that there were 200 exit visas available to leave Europe. That's when World War II was already beginning, and people were trying to escape Europe. And there were 200 exit visas available. And they came to ask Reb Chaim Oizer, who should get those visas? Should young people get those visas, or older people get those visas? So he says he saw the tsaros that were coming to Europe, and he knew that Yiddishkeit will have to be rebuilt. And he said, give it to the older people, because they will have the ability and the vision and the knowledge how to rebuild Yiddishkeit. The young people don't have that experience. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Sheshi B'Reid Ravidi. Loi lissat inish katsira, a person should not visit an ill person. Loi b'shtlosh shor kadmaisa, not during the first 3 hours of the day. V'loi b'tlosh shor basraisa, not for the last 3 hours of the day. The yoima, keicha de loi lissat datim rachmi, in order that he shouldn't stop davening, explains the Gemara. Tlash loy kadmaisa, the first 3 hours of the day, rafchadaite, the person feels very well. We know people typically feel better in the morning. So if you come visit a sick person in the morning, you'll see, Baruch Hashem, he's fine. He doesn't need my tefillas. Besraisa, at night, he doesn't feel well. And if I'll come visit him at night, I'll assume that there's no hope for a person. Tak vechulshe, I'll say there's no hope, and I won't daven. Come in the middle of the day. The Rambam gives another explanation. He says that medical treatment is typically given in those days during the morning and during the evening. And it's very important, he says, that when a visitor comes to visit a patient, he shouldn't interfere with the doctors. So since the doctors and nurses are taking care of the patient in the morning and the evening, you don't come then. Come during the day, when the patient is not undergoing care. Why doesn't the Rambam give the explanation that the Gemara gives? So Mefarshim say, because sometimes there's a patient who's not that ill. So it's not a concern that you're going to come and see him well when he's really not that well. Or you're going to see that he's really not well when he's Baruch Hashem really well. You know, he doesn't have such a serious disease. He's in the hospital, but Baruch Hashem, he's not that sick. So you would think you could visit any time during the day. Teaches us the Rambam that don't visit in a time where you will interfere with his treatment. And that's why the Paiskim say that nowadays where treatment is not limited to just the morning and the evening, doctors and nurses have their own schedule. If one comes to visit a patient and he sees that a doctor or a nurse walks in, what he should do is leave and let the doctor and nurse do what they have to do. The Mefarshim bring a raya that this is the proper way to do from Pasuk in the Torah. We know that the Malachim came to visit Avram Avinu. When did he come to visit? V'yoyshev Pesach ha'oil k'choyim hayoyim. When is choyim hayoyim? Chatzos, in the middle of the day. So we see that when you come to visit a patient, you're supposed to visit him not in the morning or in the evening, k'choyim hayoyim, in the middle of the day. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Aben Omer Rav. V'nayin shakadosh baruch hu zonas ha'choyim. How do we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu sustains the ill person? Shnema Hashem Yisodeno al Eres Tavoy. V'amarav and Amarav. Menayin Shashchina Shui L'malam Mitosa Shalchayla. How do we know that the Shechina is by the Chayla? Shnema Semi Sedan al Aristovoy. So Mefarshim discuss why is the Shechina specifically by the bed of a sick person. So one pshat that I saw is that because the sick person is, we all have our neshama and a guf connected. A sick person is in danger that his neshama should leave him. Who's the only one that could prevent that his neshama should not leave him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away he stands there to prevent his neshama from leaving him. Another pshat, two pshatim that are similar. One pshat is that when a person is sick, he recognizes what's important, that all these narishkeiten aren't important. He realizes that what's important in life is the shechina. Another pshat is that, unfortunately, when a person becomes sick, he starts asking questions. Why me? Why am I sick? What did I do wrong? So the person should know sheshchina shruya lamala mitasa shechayla. Everything that happens to us happens min hashemayim, and we should not ask questions on God. God understands what He's doing. Tanya nami hachi hanichnas levakar shechayla. If somebody comes to visit a sick person, lo yeshiv agabe mita v'lo agabe self v'lo agabe kisa. Don't sit on a bed, on a bench, on a chair. And as the Rishonim explain, because in those days typically a sick person laid on the floor. So if the Shechina is right on top of him, you will be sitting above the Shechina. And therefore nowadays, where ill people don't lay on the floor, they lay on beds, you are allowed to sit on a chair because you're not laying higher than the ill person. El mis'atev yoshev agav karka. Mis'atev means, doesn't mean put on a talus. There's no reason to put on a talus when you go visit a person. But you should dress properly because you're sitting in the Shechina's presence. Neshe Shechina shuri lemala mitosoi shalchoyla. Shenemar Hashem Yisadon al Eres Devoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there when the person is sick. The Paiskim say that a person who comes to visit a sick person should not sit by the head of the bed, because the head of the bed is, as we've just learned, is where the Shechina is. At the foot of the bed, Rachmano Letzlan, is where the Malach HaMavis is. He should sit in by the middle of the bed. The Mefarshim also say, how do we have a raya from a Pasuk? That the, another raya from a pasuk that the Shechina is with a person who's ill. It says that when Avram asked Hagar and Yishmael to leave his house, the pasuk says, and the Malach met them, Kishama Elokim lekol hanar ba'asher hu sham. What is the lashon hu sham? Ba'asher sham, ba'asher hu. Kishama Elokim lekol hanar. Hakadosh Baruch Hu hears the cry of Yishmael. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu so able to hear his cry? Basher Hu, because he's sick. And where the person is sick, who? Who refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there because he's sick, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is near the person who's ill. We begin now a Gemara that discusses Hilchas Mikvos. The halacha is that there are two types of mikvos. There's what's known as a mikvah, which is a pool of water, and there is a river, a spring, which is also kosher for a mikvah. The essential point of this Gemara is that a mikvah has to be standing water. It's a pool. A river could be flowing water. It's a machloikas rishonim if this din, that a mikvah has to be standing water, is midaraisa. Because there is a pasuk that says, ach mayon ubar. So the word ach means to differentiate. There's a difference between a mayon, between a spring, and a bar. Bar meaning a mikvah. A mayon could be flowing, a bar has to be standing water. And again, it's machlokes rishonim, if that's a din, midoraisa. Another interesting machlokes, a mikvah certainly has to be standing water. Does a river have to be flowing water, or could a river be either way? Another machlokes rishonim. What's the difference between a mikveh that has to be standing and a mayon that is flowing? So the Gros has a very interesting pshat. We know that the halacha is that a mikveh has to be minimum 40 saw. A mayon doesn't have that minimum shear. So he says, if the water is flowing, you don't have 40 saw in one place. It's flowing, so it's not a kosher mikveh. A mayon that doesn't have that requirement that the water, that we have to have 40 saw, could therefore be flowing. The Chalkos Yoyev says a different shot in the difference between a mikveh and a mayon. The Chalkos Yoyev says that a mikveh is metahir because of the place. And if it's a place with less than 40 saw, it's not a place that's a mikveh. A mayon is metahir because of the water. And as soon as you have water, it's metahir. So a mikveh has to be standing. A mayon has to be flowing. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav. Mitra Mimarova. If there's rain in Eretz Yisrael, Sada Rabba Pras. The Pras River, the Euphrates River, which was near Bavel, if it overflows, it's a proof that there was a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael, and Bavel is lower than Eretz Yisrael, and all that rain flowed down to the river Euphrates near Bavel. So some Rishonim say, why is our Gemara teaching us this then? Just to teach us when the people in Bavel should be happy. You should be happy when something good happens to someone else. And therefore, if someone else in Eretz Yisrael, our brethren in Eretz Yisrael, have abundant rain, we know that Eretz Yisrael needs rain, we in Bavel should be happy. But the other pshat, as we said, is regarding mikveh. Because if you have a river, and there was a lot of rainfall, and there's a lot of water flowing down the mountains, and there was a lot of snow that's melting and flowing down the mountain, so that river is mostly rainwater. If it's mostly rainwater, it won't be a kosher mikveh because it's flowing, and a mikveh is not allowed to be flowing. So the Gemara is teaching us that in the time where there's a concern that there's a lot of rainwater in your river, you're not supposed to go, you're not supposed to use it as a mikveh, because rainwater is not allowed to be flowing, and a river by definition flows. Says the Gemara, and this is in disagreement with what Shmuel said. O pligi de Shmuel, dama Shmuel nar mikipe mizbarach. According to Shmuel, that even if you see a river with a lot of water, overflowing with water, it's not from the rainwater. You could assume that it's from the source of the water that's multiplying and giving us a lot of water. So the Rosh asks, even if the first sheet is right, even if Rav is right, that it is rainwater, why don't we say kama kama bottle? As every drop of rain falls in, it becomes bottle in the river water. So some Rishonim say that's why this whole concern is only midrabbanan. Actually, midraisa we would say kama kama bottle. Others say we don't say kama kama bottle when something comes in a torrential downpour. And since the rain comes in such a large downpour, we don't say kama kama bottle. Says the Gemara, so Shmuel who holds that we always could use a river as a mikveh, even when we have to be concerned there's a lot of rainwater, is actually in disagreement with something else that he said. Da'am Shmuel, ein amayim b'tar b'zoichlin. Running water cannot be matar. El pras b'yoyim etisha b'vad. Shmuel said that the only time we could go to the river to be matar ourselves is only in Tishrei. Why only in Tishrei? Because by the time, we know that in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't rain in the summer. So by the time Tishrei comes along, and the Mefarshim say it's not specifically Tishrei, you need that there was a decent amount of time that all of the rainwater flowed into the river, and there's no more rainwater flowing into the river. At the end of the summer, we could be sure that that's the time, and therefore that's the only time we could use a river as a mikveh. And says the Gemara, Avu de Shmuel, Ovelem Mikvos Labansei, B'yom Nissen, U'mafze B'yom Tishrei. So Mefarshim explained the Gemara this way. This is the way the Ran explains the Gemara. In the winter, when Avu de Shmuel's daughters needed to go to the mikveh, they weren't going to go to the mikveh outdoors. It's cold. So they made an indoor mikveh. In the summer, they wanted to go to an outdoor mikveh. But he was concerned that the river is full of rainwater, or snow, or melted snow. So that's why he was careful to build them an area that was a kosher mikveh, albeit outdoors. Only in Tishrei, which we just learned a moment ago, there's no longer any concern that there's rainwater in the river, or that the rainwater is most of the river, that he allows his daughters to use the river as a mikveh. However, he made maftzeh, he made mats. As the machlokes Rishonim, why he made mats. One pshat in the Rishonim is that he made mats because the floor of the river is muddy. So if the mud gets in between the toes of his daughters, it'll be a chatzitza. That's why he put on mats. Another pshat is the river is an outdoor area. So it's not snius that they should go to a mikveh outdoors. So he built the mechitzas, the first mechitzah around the swimming pool. He built the mechitzah around the river that if daughters could be able to go to the mikveh privately. The Ran, in discussing this Gemara, as we obviously see, there's a lot of Ran here. The Ran explains the Gemara as we explained it. However, the Ran says two important points. He says, if we ever have a river that naturally loses its water, that we have to be concerned loses its water, that river should never be used as a mikveh. Because if it loses its water, there we certainly have to be concerned that the water is rainwater that's flowing and is a possible mikveh. Only in a river, he says, like the Euphrates River, that there's never a situation that it completely depletes, can we use such a river as a mikveh. The Ran also brings down a machloikus rishonim. When we're saying that a river, in a time where there's a concern that there's a lot of rainwater in the river, should not be used, what is the area of the river that may not be used? There's a three-way machloikus rishonim. The Rizo says no area of that river may be used. The concern is that there's more rainwater than river water. The Rambam says that if the person goes to the mikveh exactly where the source of the water is, that area where the source of the water comes up, we don't have to be concerned, is mostly rainwater, and he could go to the mikveh there. The Rashba makes the following difference. He says the area which is the actual river, we don't have to be concerned, is mostly rainwater. Only if sometimes you expand the river, you make a lake outside the river, that area should not be used as a mikveh. Halacha l'maisa. So the Shulchan Aruch says that a river, unless one can be completely certain, is not mostly rainwater, like the Gemara says, only at the end of the summer, one should not use the river as a mikveh. Following the opinion of Rav, opinion of Avud Shmuel. The Ramah says that l'chatchila, one should not use a river as a mikveh, but b'di'evid, if a person needs a mikveh, and there is no other mikveh available, you're allowed to use a river as a mikveh, because we say, nohar, mekipim mizbarach, we could assume that most of the water in the river comes from the natural source of the river, not from rainwater.